This is Trends and Issues in Instructional Design, Educational Technology, and Learning Science, hosted by Abby Brown and Tim Green.
Hi, this is Tim, and I'm here with Abby.
Hi, this is Abby, and I'm here with Tim.
Welcome to episode 189 of our podcast, where we review the trends and issues in instructional design, educational technology, and learning sciences that we observed as we flip resources into our Flipboard magazine over the past 2 weeks. As we normally do, we review our trends, and we have four this week, along with a recommended reading that we will share with that goes with each of these trends. We end the episode by peering into the crystal ball and making predictions about the trends we believe we'll observe in the upcoming 2 weeks. Abby, start us off by talking about our four trends and sharing our recommended readings.
Thank you, Tim. Just as a reminder to everybody listening, the way we do this is we go back, we look over the Flipboard from the past 2 weeks, and we pick the top four trends, even though there are probably more trends that we could find. But these are the ones that come to bubble up to be the top four. And it's not a scientific process. Just a reminder to everybody that we're flipping articles that are of interest to us as instructional designers and educational technologists. We assume that they are, because they're of interest to us, we assume that they're of interest to you, dear listener, as well. But it is very much kind of personal preference on our part. So here's what we personally preferred in the past 2 weeks. Number one, hardware and software. This is almost a constant for the trending, right? And so we see a lot of hardware software announcements, and some of them are critically important to us as professionals. What we saw in the past 2 weeks, the Linux OS, the latest version is 5.13 with support for M1 Max. I'm embarrassed to say that I have no idea what M1 Max refers to. I guess I have some idea, but this is important to a number of people. Amazon Echo reading sidekick feature. This is a new feature that's been released that helps people practice their reading at different levels. You can apparently, I haven't tried it out personally. I don't know if you have.
No, I haven't either.
But the description that's provided suggests that you can kind of select the reading level of the activity, ranging from pre-KK all the way up to college level. So it looks very interesting. Speaking of interesting, there's also the EdDraw or eDraw infographic software, which looks a bit like Photoshop for infographic production. And so that's very interesting. There's in Microsoft Teams, the newest mode is the newest version of the Together mode allows for just two people to be in a Together room. This is being tested right now, and again, looks quite interesting, and it's meant to reduce the amount of distraction during a conversation. There's also an interesting how-to on downloading Twitter videos, new Google Docs features, a review by Consumer Reports of noise-canceling headphones appropriate for school-age remote learners. And there are reviews of apps, reviews for 2021's new productivity apps and the best language learning apps of 2021. Also, in the past 2 weeks, in the United States, President Biden signed an executive order that included right to repair, which means that people in the U.S. have the right to repair their own devices, that companies can't limit one from opening the device and fixing it themselves, if they can. Our recommended read in the area is Top 5 Tools That Creators Love to Use While Creating Video by Mark Anthony Ramirez, for Laptop Magazine. Once again, I apologize if I'm mispronouncing anyone's name during the podcast. The Top 5 Tools, really interesting article, Tim. We were talking about this earlier. It's got some old favorites and it's mm-hmm. got some ones that we weren't familiar
right.
with. And so highly recommended read. If you're involved in creating or producing video, this is a good read. Number two trend, digital security and citizenship. Now, we often put these together. We often put security and citizenship together, but we rarely describe why. It's the articles that we saw trending, a lot of them had to do with security, with bad actors creating security risks. But there's also a citizenship component to many of these things, where people aren't necessarily trying to be bad actors as much as they're being highly awkward actors, and that they may not, they may be doing something that they don't realize is bad, or it's kind of just on a borderline of what's ethically appropriate versus what's legally allowable. So in that case, here we're talking about articles that appeared criticizing TikTok's relationship to its Chinese parent company, ByteDance. And again, we're not talking about things where there's a concern that there is some security risk here. But it kind of bleeds toward the citizenship aspect of what the question is, what is the parent company doing with the data it gathers from TikTok? Social networks are struggling with their own identities as competition increases. And this creates its own version of a citizenship problem that may not necessarily be a security problem. There's an aspect of citizenship in the current world in terms of what social media one uses. And it used to be that there were only a few options. Well, now there are so many options that this becomes a problem for companies, for the social media companies themselves and the platforms. Windows was hit by the print nightmare exploit, which meant that printers were allowing sort of an exploit into a problem. Printers were allowing people's computers to get hacked. Organizationally, this was a big problem if you were hooked up to, say, a lab printer or a common printer. So I know that at my university, we actually had to kind of take a pause, and the lab printers had to kind of be taken offline for a moment, and a solution had to be found. There were security concerns also as more and more individuals and institutions make greater use of cloud strategies. As more and more people upload information to the cloud and use those cloud-based devices more often, there's a greater concern as to who has access and how the access is managed. There was also, I pause here, and Tim laughs a little bit, because there was an amusing citizenship issue, perhaps is the best way to put it, in China in the past 2 weeks that was reported. There was tremendous criticism of Chinese private after-school tutoring software and software platforms, really online platforms. Their marketing tends to lay guilt trips on parents, saying you're not doing enough, you need to do more. It came to light in particular in the past 2 weeks because four of the major companies that provide these tutoring platforms produced independently four separate commercials. Those commercials were completely independent of each other. So for example, there was one commercial where a teacher stood and looked at the screen and said, I've been a teacher for 20 years and this is the best thing you can do. And then another commercial, completely different, the woman would appear on the screen and say, I've been a mom for 10 years, I've got three kids and this is what is happening. It turns out that all four companies hired the same actress to portray these four individual characters. And so it became very obvious that there was something going on here, and the Chinese government looked into it and imposed sanctions on these companies. Our recommended read in the area of digital security and citizenship, though, is Online Learning Has Changed the Way Students Work. Now We Need to Change Definitions of Cheating by Linda Rowan and Fiona Murray for phys.org, phys.org. This was, Tim, you and I were talking earlier, this was a really interesting article about just kind of how we approach the concept of what is collaborative work versus what is borrowing from somebody else. And how do we assess that? And how do we articulate that to students? Because we are promoting collaboration
Yeah, but and I think that's the key to what you just said. How do we get that across to students, what yes. we're looking for, and as we encourage them to work together, which we often do, especially
right.
as we worked online over the basically the past 16 to 18 months, right. what are they going to be individually responsible for out of that collaboration? It's highly important.
And this is, I think this is where Rowan and Murray do a really good job of describing the problem and right. describing possible solutions. So it's a really nice article. Number three, trending, instructional design and teaching. Now, we only had a few articles on online teaching and learning this past couple of weeks. So we blended that into instructional design and teaching. We saw Brian Washburn's periodic table of learning elements, which was a very interesting graphic. And we also saw Washburn, he authored an article for TD Magazine on understanding the four types of presenters that one might be. He creates a sort of a quadrant approach. And it's an interesting read. There's also a strong critique on the how might we design approach in Fast Company. The how might we design approach is exactly what it sounds like, is where you sit down and you say, how might we go about designing something like this? As designers, we often do this, but it's highly critical of that approach. And for good reason, based on it makes a really cogent argument. It's an interesting thought piece. Our recommended read in the area, though, is a bit more practical. Our recommended read is Better Questions in the Classroom Lead Students to Think Harder and Learn Deeper by Stacey Bradbury and Rebecca Berlin for EdSurge. And it's a really good overview of the types of questions one can pose and the types of responses in terms of cognitive activity that one can expect based on those questions. Number four is interesting for us. It's something that comes up occasionally as a trend, but not as often as the other three by any means. And I think it's been a while since this came up as a trend. Educator professional development. Just professional development for teachers and for anybody involved in education. There was an article on a well-being gap in the teaching profession, which has been underscored by the pandemic. For any of us who've been teaching online, and for all those teachers out there who have been working through this unusual situation, one can certainly see how this would really shed a spotlight on that. There's was an article also on increased parent involvement during the pandemic and the assumption that there will be increased parent involvement post-pandemic, as in the article, it was, you know, the curtain has been pulled away. Parents have seen what goes on in classrooms, both for ill and for good. There's a lot of good that goes on in classrooms that parents are impressed by. So there was that. President Biden actually made a statement in the past 2 weeks, speaking out that teachers deserve a raise, not just praise. And Tim, you and I have been saying similar things for a long time, but we're not president of the United States. So it was nice to see someone in that position make that statement. Now, we are not sure, Tim, you and I are not sure if this is actually professional development, but it seems to fall into that category.
Yeah.
Well, because it has to do with communication,
right, exactly.
with professional yeah. communication. There's a really interesting article in the New York Times last week about the uses and non-uses of email. And it really comes down to apparently it's a generational split. I, as a seasoned human, a mature human, find that I like email. Email is right. a forms a record of what's going on. But apparently there are a number of people who find email really objectionable to work with, both professionally and personally.
And it's the less seasoned individuals, right?
Possibly. I'm trying not to be ageist
right.
in this
right.
or anything, but that there are multiple approaches.
Right.
One says email is quite antiquated and please, can we use anything but email
right.
to communicate? And so it's a really interesting read about, it provides a lot of perspective on this. However, our recommended read in this area is 5 Essential Strategies for Planning Effective Professional Learning by Katie Novak and Lainey Roel for Edutopia. It's a really good overview of planning one's own professional learning. That is, if you're an educator, planning your own PD. And so we recommend that one. And those, Tim, those are our four trends and our four recommended readings.
And we share the URL at the end of the episode where you can go to find the links to the recommended readings that Abby just described. Mm-hmm. So now we turn and peer into the crystal ball and make predictions about the trends we believe we'll observe in the upcoming 2 weeks. Topping the list is usual, hardware software, right?
Well, I think we're also coming into that point of the year where people are starting to think about buying what they need for the upcoming school year in the Western Hemisphere, Northern Hemisphere, I guess. And so there's that. There's going to be a lot more about, I think, hardware trends.
We also believe security and citizenship will continue as a trend. There were a lot of things that we flipped this past for this episode in there, and we believe that'll continue. We also talked about, you know, professional development for educators, for teaching.
Yes.
Yeah, we think that that's
going... to see more of that.
Yeah, I think so too. I think, again, as we start approaching the fall, we might, you know, and we start ramping up, educators start ramping up for the fall. We'll see more of that.
Educators ramping up and educators reflecting also on their profession and their professional approach, having gone through this big shakeup of the past 18 months where they've really had to re-examine what they do and how they do it.
Exactly.
And so because of that, I think we're seeing a lot more reasoned discussion, you know, put into articles on the topic.
So we'll see more on that. We also talked about one that we didn't see that we have seen for quite a while, but that kind of got folded into, and as you mentioned, Abby, into instructional design teaching was online teaching and learning.
Right. We see a great many articles on teaching online, learning remotely, especially with the pandemic. That's been a hot topic. Although pre-pandemic, it was a regular trend.
It was.
So we see that a lot. We expect to see more of that. We expect that to come back to its sort of fullness in terms of the majority of articles that come out.
Yeah. And there wasn't anything else. I think that those were the main things that we saw in the crystal ball for the upcoming 2 weeks. Well, that brings us to the conclusion of episode 189 of our podcast. We'd like to thank our followers and viewers of our Flipboard magazine and our podcast subscribers. You can listen to past episodes of our podcast and find the links to the recommended readings from this episode by visiting our website at trendsandissues.com. Our next episode will air on July 28th.
This podcast is produced by Professor Abby Brown at East Carolina University and Professor Tim Green at California State University, Fullerton. Copyright Abby Brown and Tim Green, 2019.